This summer, saddle up with the only sportsbook where you can bet on horse racing. FanDuel. Right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $500. That's right, you'll get up to $500 back in racing credit if your first horse racing bet doesn't win. With FanDuel Sportsbook, you can even watch and bet select races live right in the app. So, bet horse racing on the same app where you bet all your other favorite sports. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Just download the app or go to FanDuel.com/horses to score your no-sweat bet up to $500. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Offer valid on first real money wager of $5 or more. Verified FD racing account required. Bonus issued in non-withdrawable racing site credit that expires 7 days after issuance. Max refund $500. Restrictions apply. See terms at racing.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome to ATT Case File Number 2. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
No Mr. Conspiracy today. He is out of town, so we're doing this one without him. I guess we should, maybe this one will be a monthly. We'll try to do it more often than it's done. What do you think?
No promises, I don't think.
No promises.
I like every couple of weeks, but every couple more weeks. Like a month probably. More,
I think month, once a month. So, we're going to start off with some space weather. If you're around the northern hemisphere, we've got some solar winds bringing some auroras. So if you're in the northern hemisphere and you want to see some auroras out there, aurora borealis, get out at night, a clear night, get away from this city lights, light pollution, and you should next couple of days.
Do we know how far south? Does it say how far south it comes? Because I've only seen them maybe a handful of times in Kelowna here. But
me too. And we're on the like 40, almost on the 49th parallel, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty close.
So no. So it says November 3rd, 4th, and 5th, 85% chance of polar geomagnetic storms. Oh,
What do you mean?
Auroras were sighted as low as Michigan, Wisconsin, Montana, and even Ohio.
So oh, so lower than
it's,
here.
It's getting, yeah, it's we're seeing them, start to see them lower and lower. So, yeah, get out there and take a peek. See if I'm going to try them.
I hope I get a chance. They're sweet. I never get to see them, but.
The only one I've ever seen, I was in Kelowna here. I was on my deck with Corey, and we were wasted. At probably 3 in the morning, we were on my deck having a last couple, finish the night off beers, and the sky started pulsing, and we like couldn't figure out what it was for the longest time, and then all of a sudden we're like, it's the northern lights. Oh my God, I've never seen them so far south.
It's like a captivating sight when they're really bright. I remember coming out, the only time I really seen them well, we came outside of Snowshoe Sam's up a big white. And we're all drunk. We just all looked up and for like 15 minutes just stared. Like it was mesmerizing how cool it was.
It's, yeah, it is pretty insane. So if you're anywhere where you can see one, I highly recommend take 15, 20 minutes. Just stare at the skies. It's a sight to behold if you've never seen it. So lots happened since the last
episode. So much shit. I couldn't even start. I don't even know where to start.
I think we should start on the biggest topic. I think liquid water on Mars.
That's awesome.
Who do you think?
Well, what have they found? They found water or they found traces of where water flows? They actually found water.
My understanding was that they found the evidence that would mean that there is flowing water. I don't know if that means...
Okay, well, here it is. NASA confirms evidence that liquid water flows on today's Mars.
Okay, so, yeah, so...
New findings from NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, MRO, provides the strongest evidence yet that liquid water flows intermittently on present-day Mars.
So from time to time.
Yeah, using an imaging spectrometer on MRO, researchers detected signatures of hydrated minerals on slopes where mysterious streaks are seen on the red planet. So I guess it flows and freezes and disappears? Is that what happened? I guess.
That'd be my guess. That's insane, because that's one step. If there's water, there's something there. There's got to be microbes or something, some sort of life. And I always thought, I was like, why couldn't the rover just go over and, you know, scoop up some of that water and test it?
I guess it's only on the hills, though, I guess, was what they found here.
They actually, there's a treaty, that an international treaty that was signed in 1967 that we're like, no one on Earth is allowed to go near, like, water or anything, like foreign bodies of water stuff on other planets, because we might contaminate it with Earth
whatever
germs, Earth germs. Because I guess what they say is Curiosity is not sterile enough, right? So we'd have
it's a big
to
hunk of metal.
Yeah, I know. That's what I think too. It's like crazy. Go over there, freaking RC car that thing over there, sample that water.
The aliens told us not to. That's why.
Yeah, probably like, get stay out of there.
Not a look.
Stay
don't
out of that
touch.
Mars water.
No, this is beyond my level to comprehend what they're saying here, but it's a good read on nasa.gov/press-release, blah, blah, blah. Just search NASA confirms evidence of liquid water.
Yeah, that's, it's just going to go so far to, like, if they find life on Mars and they say, like, it's such a rare thing and that, like, our planet's the only, like, habitable planet for life. If we find it the next planet over, that's just like the odds just astronomically grow to find life.
It would be unbelievable.
And then I think that would confirm it, that there is all sorts of life everywhere. And then I think the biggest issue then is timing. You know what I mean? Where it's like, they're far away, right? So they might go extinct or whatever before we make contact or have already gone extinct. And
well, that's the one conspiracy, I guess, with Mars is life had existed there at one point and has now been long extinct.
Oh, really?
But I've heard that before.
Interesting.
I don't have an article to back that up, but I read that somewhere. But here's a quote from, what's his name here? Oh, forgive me on this one. Lugendra Ojha.
Lugendra Ojha.
That's a name, but we found the hydrated salts only when the seasonal features were widest, which suggests that either the dark streaks themselves or a process that forms them is the source of the hydration. In either case, the detection of hydrated salts on these slopes mean that water plays a vital role in the formation of these streaks. So, like, coming from the top Georgia Tech Institute, can't really argue with him, I guess.
Oh, fuck.
That's really cool, because they always speculated that there was, like, ice under the surface of Mars.
Yeah, and maybe.
But not liquid salt water flowing down the slopes of Mars during some seasons.
Yeah, it's awesome. They're 100% I'm convinced we're going to find life, simple form, simple cell organisms and shit on Mars in that water.
If you have salt water, I know the temperature is really cold on Mars, but it doesn't matter. I don't think
we have shit that lives in the thermal vents, like
plus 500 degrees. And,
yeah. So like, you know, in the words of Ian Malcolm there, life will find a way.
You know what? That's the second time you used that quote.
Right.
Two for two.
Was it? Did I use that on the first one too?
I think so.
Well, you know,
it's a very fitting quote though.
It fits everything. So, I know I'm a huge Jurassic
You know what we should look into fan. Is some more research on the possibility of terraforming Mars now. Like, what would it take to get, like, an atmosphere forming enough to be able to be there and even breathe with, like, just, like, a tiny helmet or something?
I watched an interview with, I can't remember his name. It's Elon Musk.
I've heard that name before.
Elon Musk, yeah, he owns Tesla.
Okay.
Right. He was saying that, like, we should detonate thermonuclear weapons, and that would speed up the process.
If we just throw a bunch of stuff into the atmosphere and
yeah.
Then,
and then that would, I mean, it would still take hundreds of years, but that would get the ball rolling really fast.
Well, that would put out like a blanket so it would get colder, wouldn't it? Or warmer?
I think warmer.
So we just got to be able to find a way to generate like oxygen to 20 to 22%.
Yeah. That's a tough one, but
we'll look into it.
Yeah,
we'll look into it. That would
we'll
be.
Figure it out here. That's where we're about solving problems.
All about solving problems.
All about solving problems. Before we do any transitions or anything, ATT Alien Theorist Theorizing is sponsored by Media. Oh,
ooh.
It's been a long day. Media Recordings. Meteor-recording.com. Small room, big sound. And you can find us on Twitter at The Truth Is Out There.
T-H-U-R-R?
Yeah, double R at the end.
All one word.
And I know we've had some, we've been checking stats. We got some listeners from around the world. And, you know, this is a small, pretty new podcast. So hit us up on Twitter. You might go on there and it might look like we've never used it, which we haven't. But if we start to get messages, we will use
it. We will use it.
And we'll communicate with you guys. If you want to talk or want to, you want to come on the podcast, send us a line. We can do some Skype interviews. We can shoot the shit on conspiracies or whatever kind of topics you want. We can make this an intimate podcast. So hit us up, attpodcast@thetruthisoutthere on Twitter.
What are we using for email?
You know what? I thought I set up an email for this podcast, but I don't think I did.
How about this? Any inquiries to the podcast of any sort, send to meteorrecording@gmail.com. All one word.
Yeah, meteorrecording@gmail.com.
That's the central email. We'll get them all from both podcasts.
And I guess we have another podcast, which is just, I don't know. it's completely on a different the realm of like the spectrum. It's on the other end. It's usually about five guys all bullshitting, telling stories, and having a good time getting drunk. So if you you know, got an hour to kill and you want to listen to some dumb stuff, check out What's the Meaning of This. That's our other podcast, and that you can find them on Twitter at Whitmont Podcast. On Twitter. Okay, what else we got for conspiracy news?
Fill me in on this, because I've heard of it. I haven't looked too much into it. The Impossible EM Drive.
Okay, Impossible EM Drive. I read this article the other day. So you can find this article on themindunleashed.org and look up Impossible Engine, Impossible EM. You'll find it. It's not that hard.
There's tons of articles.
Okay, so I'll read the article here. What if there was an engine that would be fast and powerful enough to make interplanetary and even interstellar travel possible? Huh? What do you think? There is indeed such kind of engine, which is called EM drive or electromagnetic propulsion drive. And scientists now confirm that it actually works. According to the estimates, it would take 4 hours for the EM drive to get to the moon and 70 days to get to Mars. 4 days to get to the Mars or to get to the moon. What's can you quickly punch in? What are we taking right now? How long does it take us to get to the moon with our current technology?
It's probably like
I'm thinking 330 days.
Oh, to the moon? No, not that long to the moon.
Oh, really?
Because the moon is only 386,000 kilometers.
Oh, only
it takes
that. Okay.
It takes 3 days for a spacecraft to reach the moon.
Really? I thought it took way longer.
Because by the time you get in space, you start traveling like 30,000 k an hour.
Yeah, whatever. I guess you start just picking up speed. What but was Kayla, Mars is then? Like
Mars has
got
to be, let's see, Mars, time to get to Mars. 150 to 300 days, depending on the alignment between Earth and Mars and when you would leave.
I thought at least that the moon was further, but maybe I was thinking Mars. Okay, so anyways, I'm get back to the article here. Earlier this year, NASA scientists conducted a series of tests in a vacuum and announced that the controversial machine really does work. Now, researcher Martin Tajmar of the Dresden University of Technology in Germany also confirmed that the engine produces thrust. But first of all, let's take a look at how the EM drive works and why it's so controversial. Man, I'm just butchering.
Forgive him.
Why is the EM drive considered impossible? The EM drive technology was invented by British engineer Roger Shawyer.
Yeah.
It looks like Sawyer, but it's spelled Shawyer. So I'm just going to go with Shawyer. So it was invented in the early 2000s. However, the invention was not taken seriously by the scientific community because it, in fact, violates a fundamental law in physics called the conversion of momentum. According to this law, to move forward, an object is required to have a propellant pushing it in the opposite direction. The EM drive works without a propellant and uses solar energy instead. Its operation is based on electromagnetic waves, which produce electrical energy that is then converted into thrust. Basically, this means that the impossible engine operates without fuel. So,
ooh, that's game changer.
Yeah, man, I want that. So in my
I got a different article here, and it's saying apparently propelled forward by microwaves bouncing back and forth inside an enclosed chamber, and this is what makes the drive so powerful and at the same time so controversial. So it's using microwaves or solar power.
Yeah.
How it creates thrusts is beyond me, but...
No, my thing is I'm like, why is it controversial at all? Like,
why not test it? Why not test it and get it going?
Yeah, like, fucking fire it up. Right? Make a little one. Put it across a Hot Wheels track or something, right? Like, to me, that's like, I'm like, I don't understand why it's controversial. Like, is it because that, like, I always think it's weird when they're like, well, it goes against laws of science, but like, our laws of science are constantly
they're
changing,
always being broken and
right?
changed.
So. The Earth was flat at one point, and then someone said it was round, and I'm sure that at the time broke the laws of science.
I'm pretty sure he was burned.
Yeah, probably.
What was that guy's name? The first guy
who was like, I don't think this is a flat surface we're on here.
Anyways, I'll get to it.
Okay, so we'll touch back on that. So, how powerful is this EM drive? The drive could produce thrust 10 times greater than the modern Eon thruster, and several thousand times greater than a photon rocket. It fucking blows me away. We could get to Pluto in 18 months with this engine.
Wow.
We could reach Alpha Centauri in 100 years.
And is that our closest?
Yeah, that's our closest.
Closest star?
Closest star. And it would take tens of thousands of years to make that journey with our current technology.
Huh.
It just blows me away. So this article goes on and it talks about new findings and stuff. That's insane. I would love to see that, something with that going on trips in our generation. Like, why not rig it to a satellite or something? Send a deep space satellite out, right? Or something. Like, why?
Now, would this only work for space travel, or would it work for, like, gravity challenge travel as well, like air travel?
Now,
can we go from Vancouver to Japan in 45 minutes instead of 9 hours now, or would it only be in space?
I think it would only be in space because,
if it's creating thrust, and that's where you need thrust to gain lift.
I wonder if it's because of friction, right? That's why it wouldn't work on Earth. It wouldn't work.
But if you create thrust, though.
Yeah, I guess so. Why not?
If you can create thrust in space, you can create thrust with gravity, you'd think. Hmm. Anyways, Copernicus. Copernicus theory became so well known that when most people discuss the heliocentric theory today, they're referring to Copernicus' model. Oh, he's the first person to say that.
It was round?
Not round. Sorry. He's the first person to say that Earth orbited the sun.
And not the other way around.
Not Earth was the center.
And I bet that broke the laws of science at the time.
I typed in, they say Columbus, but really it was probably someone like in Greece or like ancient China who discovered the round Earth first.
Yeah.
That would be another cool thing to talk about, is how much information and technology was lost during the Dark Ages.
Oh, man, it's probably insane.
Because if you look back at all those ancient civilizations, either they're alien-assisted to be so advanced, or they're so advanced and all that technology was just lost.
The pyramid. We'll have to talk about the pyramids.
Dedicated one to the pyramids. That is a crazy one.
Let's do the pyramids the next one, because I think 100%. I'll do a quick recap. I think we have had huge. That's huge. My Donald Trump impersonation there. Back in the day or whatever, I think we've had technologically advanced civilizations that have crumbled. And their way to pass on information, like basic math and all that stuff, is they built structures that could withstand and the test of time. And they hid all... They didn't even hide it. They just put everything, like, information-wise in there they possibly could for us to unlock. And I think that's what all the pyramids are. I think they're just... all the knowledge is hidden in there. But we're just, I think we overlook lots of it. Well, you know, there's a whole shitload of stuff on that.
I'm not even going to open my mouth on the pyramids because I got a whole bunch in there.
Case file 3, let's go ahead and name it. It's going to be called the fucking pyramids.
The fucking pyramids.
Holy shit.
We'll go right to the base.
Oh my God. It blows me away. So pyramids, next one we'll talk about. And again, if there's anything else you want us to talk about or... touch on or comment on or anything, send us
please email us. I would love to hear from anybody.
Oh man, it's like we were blown away at how many views our first one had, which is, you know, partially because our name is Alien Theorists Theorizing, so people probably think we're alien theorists, and then they're probably like, oh, it's just a couple of guys. But let me ask you a question: how do you become an alien theorist?
You start reading, you start talking.
So, you know, if you think you're a better theorist than us,
please prove it.
Come on,
we would love you to have you.
We'll hand it over. Okay, so what else we got here?
Okay, well we can shift now. We can shift to Gary McKinnon. If you've never heard of him, he's a guy who hacked NASA and found some shit that they didn't want them to find. So man, this article is long. Where would I even start?
You want to just summarize it? He looks like, when you look at him,
he looks like a complete computer hacker. He's got the eyebrows kind of like,
yeah, the fucking
frilled up.
Let's just call it the hacker brows. And you know what? Look up a picture of Gary McKinnon and you're going to say he's got the hacker brows. 100%. If they were like, if there was a James Bond movie and the henchman needed a hacker, it's Gary McKinnon.
Okay, I'll read a couple of paragraphs.
Okay, let's hear it.
In March 2002, Glasgow-born Mr. McKinnon was arrested by police at his dinghy flat in Wood Green, North London. Scotland Yard detectives were acting on allegations from the Americans that he had hacked into U.S. military computer systems in an attempt to bring them down. He allegedly immobilized sensitive systems in the wake of 9/11 attacks. McKinnon, now 46, admits hacking into the U.S. computers, but says he had been on a moral crusade to find classified documents about unidentified flying objects.
So the guy was just hunting for UFOs.
He was doing what everyone else in the world wants to do, but we don't know how.
Yeah.
Okay, he got his first computer when he was 14 years old. Oh, okay, whatever. He left school. He was a hairdresser.
You know what?
Come on, Gary.
Now that you say that... Looking at a couple of his pictures, Gary's hair is on point in most of the pictures.
It's pretty damn good.
You know, why didn't he do something with his brows?
You know what? Good thing his friends, though, in the 1990s convinced him to get a qualification in computers, because we're going to be here today.
It helped him probably get arrested, and he's probably in jail right now.
You know what? I think he's escaped trial, which is, I don't know how, but... Okay, I lost my spot here. Oh, yeah, the Americans continue to press for the extradition of a man who say it caused $800,000 worth of damage to computers between 2001 and 2002.
$800,000.
Completely unknown at the time of his arrest, Mr. McKinnon became a symbol of the controversial U.S.-UK extradition treaty, gaining the wealth of celebrity backers as diverse as Terry Waite, Sting, and Julie Christie. Julie Christie?
I don't know. No idea. I know Sting. Like the wrestler?
It says Sting.
It's the singer.
Singer, but I wish it was the wrestler.
Me too. If it doesn't elaborate, we should probably assume it's Sting the Wrestler, though.
Let's assume it's Sting the Wrestler, but it probably will be Sting the Singer. Okay, in 2009, he told BBC, "I'm not blind to criminality, but I was on a moral crusade. I was convinced, and there was good evidence to show, that certain secretive parts of the American government intelligence agencies did have access to crass extraterrestrial technology, which could, in these days, save us in the form of a free, clean, pollution-free energy."
Whoa.
He added, I thought if someone is holding on to that, that is unconstitutional under American law, and I didn't think about jail sentences at the time. I'd stop washing at one point. I wasn't looking after myself. I wasn't eating properly. I was sitting around the house in my dressing gown doing this all night. He didn't try very hard to cover his tracks. He used his own email address. When Britain's high-tech crime unit finally came from 2002, he was not surprised. He told BBC, I almost wanted to be caught because it was ruining me. I had this classic thing of wanting to be caught so there would be an end to it. So he was like addicted to.
So was he confirming there that he had found that, or was he just speculating that that's he was looking for to see if they could have some sort of like pollution-free energy?
You know what? It doesn't really say so much in this article. This isn't
because like. I wonder if
there's a million of these articles. Of
I want to know what he found. Like, did he find anything worthwhile? Because, like, it's pretty insane that, like, good on him for hacking that. And he said, but I want to know, like, what did he find?
Okay, here's another article. I found a high definition picture of a large cigar shaped object over the northern hemisphere. I was so shocked by the picture that I didn't think to immediately save it. The file was so large that it was difficult to view on my computer. Eventually, my connection was lost, and so was the picture. So that sucks that he never really found it.
See that? And that's.
I found a list of officers' names under the heading non-terrestrial officers. It doesn't mean little green men. What I think it means is not Earth-based. I found a list of fleet-to-fleet transfers and a list of ship names. I looked them up. They weren't U.S. Navy ships. What I saw made me believe that they had some kind of spaceship off-planet.
Whoa, so he's saying there that the U.S. military has commanders who are not from Earth.
That's what he's saying. Not the first time I've heard that either, but that's in the Blue Planet Project also, they say that.
Oh, that is fucking crazy.
There's like, search Gary McKinnon and you'll come up, there will be hundreds of pages.
Yeah, check out shit about Gary McKinnon. Interesting guy. Hair is on point.
Eyebrows are nuts.
Eyebrows are hacker brows. But give it a read. Give it a look over. It's some interesting stuff that he's done. It's crazy.
Stuff like that just...
I want to believe so bad when I read that stuff. But then like when he says that, like, oh, I found this picture, but I couldn't save it.
I know, like what?
That's like the classic, the grainy Bigfoot footage, right? Like,
it's tough because if I was a hacker and I had those skills and I found that, instant save, transfer across the web so you could never get rid of it.
Yeah,
like, it'd be
I would take pictures of it on my phone and shit on the screen. I would make sure I had it.
I would print pictures. I would, within an hour, I would have it all done.
Yeah, that's the shit. Man, because he's just trolling, right? It's hard to say.
Okay, so, where are we going to next?
Should we talk about Kepler? The fucking megastructure?
Oh, yes, we should.
Okay, so
take this one.
Another one this month. You've probably read this. It's been pretty wide
it's
around
pretty,
the web.
It's on like pretty much mainstream news everywhere.
Yeah, so it's we've... Cool. The Kepler telescope has found a mysterious object orbiting a distant star. And,
let me introduction say it's KIC 8462852.
And it's 1,500 light years away. And something is blocking a huge amount of its light. I've read other articles that say it gets like a 22% dip in light and shit. With no obvious candidate for what the object could be, one scientist suggests the very faint possibility that it could be an artificial in nature. So, like, I've seen pictures and stuff of what they're like, what drawings and stuff think they could be, and it looks like it looks like halo rings around the sun. Like, that's what their people's drawings of it have been.
So what are the explanations, though? Like, other explanations besides alien superstructure?
Okay, well, all it's saying is, it's saying the star in question is an old star. It's about 1.5 times larger than the sun. And its light, its light dips by 20% on several occasions due to the orbit of a vast object that would have to be almost half the star's size.
Yes, yeah, I have a different article here.
So,
saying,
and these huge dips occur at random across 1,600 days.
The random thing is the big.
That is
that's
insane.
A weird thing. Yeah, it seems too substantial to be caused by an orbiting planet. Another possible explanation is a planet-forming disk, but this doesn't make sense either because KIC 8462852 appears to be a mature star whose planets, if it has any, would already be formed.
Yeah, and then it also, I read one here that it says the object has to be new because it would be consumed. It would have been consumed by the star's gravity. And the object cannot be a star because it's not emitting light, and it's not circular. It is also unlikely to be a planet owing to its irregular orbit. This is mind-blowing. Like, what the hell could it be? Okay, so here's one that says the leading suggestion is that it's debris left from comets breaking up around the star. Oh. This would be expected to produce large amounts of infrared radiation, which it's not.
So all these things they're thinking it is, there's a complete opposite to why it's not, for the most part.
Yeah, so it's like everything it says, like, you would see scattering of dust around the star, something that's not observed. Holy, like, it's insane. So then what they're thinking is a Dyson sphere is a structure that harnesses a star's energy for use by civilization, sort of like a solar power, but on a massive scale. It would be composed of hundreds of thousands of spacecraft, often referred to as a Dyson swarm, that would theoretically be large enough to block out significant portion of a star's light. So go ahead and Google Kepler Dyson sphere, and you'll see people's renderings of what this might look like and stuff. But this article goes on to say that it's estimated that as a civilization gets more and more advanced, it will require more and more energy to thrive. Some consider a Dyson sphere the best way to gather this energy, labeling this civilization a type 2 on the Kardashev scale. For reference, we are at 0.73 on that scale.
What's the scale go to?
Funny ask, I'll pull that up. I believe it's 5, but okay. Let me tell you, I'll bring it up right now. It's up. And, okay, so the scale was originally designed in 1964 by Russian astrophysicist Nikolai Kardashev. What's that? Oh, so 3 base classes, each with an energy disposal level, type 1, type 2, type 3. Oh, and other astronomers, but, you know, they've given a type 4 and type 5, but those guys are nuts. So a type 1 designation is given to a species who have been able to harness all the energy that is available from a neighboring star, gathering and storing it to meet the energy demands of a growing population. That means that we would need to boost our current energy production over 100,000 times to reach this status. So we're type 1, we're not even type 1, we're 0.73, they figure. So we're close, but, you know, so close yet so far. Type 2 can harness the power of an entire star. Several methods, the Dyson sphere talks about doing that. They have no idea. They're like, why would a civilization need this much energy? They're like, we don't know. And type 3. So what's the type 3? A species has become galactic traverse with knowledge of everything having to do with energy, resulting in them becoming a master race. Ooh, so type 3 is just...
Shit.
Oh. So what they think is type 3 would be like cybernetic organisms, being both biological and robotic, with the descendants of regular humans... this is saying if we went there. The descendants of regular humans being a subspecies among the new highly advanced society. So it's saying like pretty much it would have to be robotics and...
So we're destined to go that way.
Well...
Probably.
Or burnout. Kardashev believed the Type 4 civilization was too advanced and he didn't go beyond a Type 3 on a scale. So... other people did. Other people went type 4 and type 5, where they say they can harness energy content of an entire universe and could traverse accelerating expansion of space. So pretty much you're just like, they can live in black holes. Like
you're God.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But then there's people, other scientists and stuff have come up with a type 5. So at type 4, you can bend the laws of physics, like that shit doesn't matter to you.
Wormholes and jump across the universe and all that stuff.
And type 5 would be gods, pretty much. They can manipulate the universe as they please. Huh. So interesting stuff.
Wow.
So that's the Kardashev scale.
Okay, let's go with the level 5 or 4. I've heard of this called the Arcturians. They're supposed to be the most advanced civilization in the galaxy.
Oh yeah, that's
give that a read, and we'll come across that another time.
Another time, Arcturians. Check that out.
The Arcturians.
They're a level 4, level 5 species. They say
they're the most advanced species in our galaxy.
In our galaxy. Oh, okay. So it's a small galaxy.
Conspiracy there, but dig in.
We'll take a look at that one. So yeah, mega structure on Kepler. They have no idea what it is. Possibly a type 2 alien civilization. I've heard we're going to point telescopes and stuff at it and try to study it more. So
yeah, I think they haven't pointed in any type of dip in light. They'll be able to tell if it's a gas or a solid or what exactly it is, or a better idea of what it is at least.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see where this goes. I will definitely be paying attention to that one. Man, that's just mind-blowing. Like,
it's boggling for sure.
Because, yeah, it doesn't orbit.
Let's just take a second and just think. Let's say in a month these telescopes have been viewing this thing. And there's 1,000 telescopes now of all sorts. Radio telescopes, Kepler's telescope, all these telescopes. And NASA comes out. They probably won't, but say they come out like, we have discovered that this structure is artificial in nature without a doubt. What would that do?
Oh my God!
That would break. That's got to break open the alien conspiracy wide open.
Man, I would instantly. You couldn't discredit anything really. After that,
there's no more like, oh, he's on drugs or he's on this. Like, no, it's like the most advanced people on Earth staring at this thing and coming up like, we have no other explanation but this is artificial.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
That's like my biggest wish right now. That would be just awesome, oh,
dude. I would love just. For an admission just, that there's just a little life
something
out there, right?
Just a little something.
Yeah. What else we got on the docket?
Okay, well, I got this guy. I don't know if we can do he's a pretty big story, but we'll touch on it.
Let's touch on him, and yeah, I know who you're talking about. Phil.
His name is Phil Schneider. He's considered, well, in this article and a couple others, the most courageous man of modern times for his whistleblowing efforts against the government, pretty much.
Now, I don't even know if he could, because we got so many whistleblowers now, like Snowden and other guys. But yeah,
he was 20 years ago.
Oh, so he's the pioneer.
He was killed military style in his apartment after he blew the whistle, and he even in his interviews, he has a bunch of interviews. Google Phil Schneider. Whistleblower of U.S. government or whatever other combination of words. And you'll find video after video of him giving his accounts that he worked at the Dulce base We'll touch on that another one too, but it's a base where aliens and humans are supposed to coexist and create technology pretty much. And he says he was involved in a battle there and he had lost his fingers from an alien like ray gun, I guess you'd say, or whatever type of gun. But there's more than that. And he, after, during his talks, he even says, I don't know how long I can do this. Like he knew he was going to die pretty much. And it was not more than 2 years later that he was killed in his apartment with like a razor wire, like guillotine, like they killed him like a hitman style.
Oh.
It's cool.
Oh man, I'm looking at his fingers.
They're fried right off.
They look like
they were meant.
Okay, I'm not going to confirm that. They look like they've been lasered off.
That's hard to say that.
It's hard to say because these are old pictures, 20 years. But they look like they were, whatever took them off pretty good. Oh, man.
Okay, I'm just going to read a couple of paragraphs from one of his admissions. I love the country I'm living in more than I love my life. But I would not be standing before you now risking my life if I did not believe it was so. The first part of this talk is going to concern deep underground military bases and the black budget. The black budget is a secretive budget that garners 25% of the gross national product of the United States. Whoa, that's quite the claim. The black budget currently consumes $1.25 trillion per year. At least this amount is used in black programs like those concerned with deep underground military bases. Presently, there are 129 deep underground military bases in the United States. They have been building these bases night and day, unceasingly, since the early 1940s. Strange enough, coincides with the start of UFOs, really.
That's
start of like the Foo Fighters and World War II and that kind of stuff. But yeah, he's got tons of stuff. But let's put that on the next one too.
Okay, I just want to say a couple of things. I want to do a couple of research for next time because he was in the military. So if he lost his fingers in war, right, he would have got a Purple Heart or something, right? That's what you get if you're injured on the battle.
Yeah, I think so.
So there's got to be a record of him receiving a Purple Heart if he was injured in the field, right? So we can easily look that up, figure that out, and disprove that, like, yeah, they say he was given a Purple Heart in this time, but you know what? If it is that big of a conspiracy, maybe they have done that to try to disprove him. Anyways, I'm going to look to see if he's had a Purple Heart or what's up with his fingers, and if there's any conflicting reports, I'll try to have that for next time for case file 3 or 4. We'll have to take a peek.
Okay, I'm just going to read a couple. I'm not going to read any more paragraphs, but I'm just going to read some other points of the document. So that was deep underground military bases and the black budget. He also talks about the Grada Treaty between the U.S. government and aliens, government factions, railroad cars and shackle contracts, America's black budget contractors, the alien threat, stealth aircraft technology by the U.S. agencies and the U.N., Guardians of Stealth and Delta Force, the Bosnia conflict, bombings in the United States, the truth behind the Republican contract with America, statistics on the black helicopter presence, government earthquake device, AIDS as a bioweapon based on alien excretions. Like, just the list goes on and on about stuff that this guy blew the whistle on before he was killed.
Man.
It's guys like this that bring it past just a conspiracy of some crazy guy telling, like, oh, there's aliens out there. It's when the top officials and like high-ranking people blow the whistle and then they mysteriously disappear not that long after.
It's crazy. There's a Canadian guy too. The Minister of National Defense, Paul Hellyer, in 2013 came out and said he knew of 4 alien races actively visiting Earth. And he was the defense minister.
The top end of government.
Like, okay.
That boggles my mind. Why does that not gain traction of some kind?
Like, why would you go out and I can't picture you doing that and just going and bullshitting. So anyone who wants to watch a video of the Canadian former Canadian defense minister, you can YouTube UFO alien disclosure May 2013 by Canadian defense minister. It's mind blowing. Like, it's mind blowing that there's people out there. Cause I'm like, at the same time, I'm a person who I have to see to believe. Like, I need a firsthand encounter. And, man, but I have a hard time believing that some guy who had that high ranking of a job would be like, you know what'll be fun?
If I just pull a prank on all these guys,
pull a prank and just never end it. Like,
I think that's the closest we can get to a firsthand account is taking like a high ranking military official or government or scientist, their firsthand account, like their, when they give their account like that. That's the closest we can get right now.
And I'm pulling up pictures of Paul Hellyer, and he, like, he's old, but he doesn't look,
he's not senile.
He doesn't look senile,
delirious or anything.
But, you know, maybe he is. Maybe that's the issue. He's got mental illness. But we should be able to find medical records of something like that.
No, because, okay, man, here's one more thing. We're rolling up on 45 minutes. We're going to end it here pretty quick. So let's, next week, we're going to talk on the pyramids.
The fucking pyramids.
That'll be a big one. That might be the whole time.
Yeah.
But another huge thing, take a listen to this. It's called the Disclosure Project. And it's a huge video of all these top end guys coming forth. It was like a national broadcast. I can't remember when it was, 2000 or something, but hours and hours of guys giving their testimony on UFOs and aliens. It's actually nuts. I watched about half an hour of it not that long ago. And I'd never heard of it before. It was pushed under the rug, like another one of those videos. But so yeah, next week, pyramids.
Yeah.
So we talked about Phil Schneider. We talked about Gary McKinnon briefly. So you guys go out and have a read about them.
Let us know what you think. Are they full of shit, or is it more, should we dig into that more? Another thing on Paul Hellyer here. I pulled up a couple things really quick. And some things that he said he believed in UFOs. He had seen a UFO once, he said. He also said, he accused me. This is great. Okay, you know, I don't know how sound of mind he is. In November 2005, he accused President George W. Bush of plotting an intergalactic war.
Ooh, how far are we going with that?
I don't know. The former defense minister told an audience at the University of Toronto, and I quote, "The United States military are preparing weapons which could be used against the aliens, and they could get us into an intergalactic war without us ever having any warning. The Bush administration has finally agreed to let the military build a forward base on the moon, which will put them in a better position to keep track of goings and comings of the visitors from space and shoot at them if they decide."
That doesn't seem that far-fetched, really, from all the other accounts that I've heard about alien technology we've discovered and harnessed and created.
Okay, you know what?
Let's dig into that one, because
Who knows? We'll dig more into that one, because like now the more I read about Paul Hellyer now, because like 2005, he said he believes. Then he's jumping to telling Bush that he's going to start an intergalactic war. 2007, he's demanding the governments disclose alien technology. And then most recently in 2014, he's saying that there's four species of aliens that have visited Earth. They've been so for thousands of years.
Well, he's not the first person I've heard say that.
But here's the thing. Why didn't he say that in 2005?
Well, maybe he did. You're only on one article.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, so we'll touch more. We'll dig in. We'll dig in a little bit.
So next week we got pyramids. The week after we'll do first-hand accounts of whistleblowers and other things.
Whistleblowers, the whole thing on whistleblowers. That's a good one.
Because I got a list a mile long of guys like that. All right.
UFO whistleblowers. Okay, so again, check us out, meteor-recording.com, small studio or small room, big sound. Hit us up on Twitter at the truth is out there, T-H-U-R-R. On Twitter, email us questions and anything, comments, feedback, what you want us to talk about, things we should look up. We see that there's a lot of listeners out in the UK right now. So give us some UK conspiracies. We would love to dig into them.
Well, it was number one US, two Canada, three UK.
Yeah, so.
Please.
Well, US. US.
Anyone across the pond would be awesome.
Yeah, I would like to dig in. Give us some interesting, juicy UK conspiracies that we can dig into and read and be fascinated about. And I would like to come up. I want to do one episode where we try to just strictly Canadian conspiracies. Because we all know the U.S. ones. Like the U.S. ones that we're touching on, like the big ones we're going to be talking about, they're easily accessible. So I want to get some niche ones.
Yeah, I do have a couple on the East Coast.
Perfect.
So,
anything else that we forgot to mention?
I didn't say it. MediaRecording@gmail.com. One word.
Yeah, email us.
Send all inquiries, comments. Send them there.
Subject ATT podcast.
Yeah, if you forget a subject, I'll still check it. So.
Yeah, we don't get that many emails.
Right on. That was fun.
Okay. So that's us for, we'll maybe 2 weeks.
We'll try every other week.
Every other week we're going to try. So that's ATT. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
Keep those eyes on the skies.
Life can always use more Cedar Point. And right now, you can get more Cedar Point for less with the Fun Day Bundle for just $74.99. Each bundle gets you admission, parking, and all-day dining for one low price. That means more coasters like Steel Vengeance and more nostalgic fun in the boardwalk area. But you better hurry because this bundle won't last. Save now at CedarPoint.com.